He is risen. Kids, moms, and dads did really good on that. You were a little slow on the take. So, you know, I just wanted to give you a test. Be ready. I know that today was the day that many were hoping there would be no more gym worship. I am looking forward to today. There is no more gym setup before worship or gym takedown after worship. But that day is not this day. This day, however, does cast an eye to that day. No, not that day that we are over there, but that day that he is back here. This day, Easter Sunday, casts an eye to that day. In fact, the Easter Creed that many of you know quite well says that very thing. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will. Christ will come again this day. This day that Jesus of Nazareth, who was killed by a Roman crucifixion squad, historically, physically, verifiably rose from the grave, this day casts an eye to that day when he shall return. And because of this day, on that day, there will be no more crying. No more dying. No more sighing. So says Isaiah. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to Isaiah 65. It was the epistle or the Old Testament lesson I read earlier. On that day, there will be no more crying. Every tear shall be wiped away. Listen to Isaiah. No longer shall there be heard the sound of crying. Each pain that produces I rain will not only not be present, although that would be enough, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be enough to just go through life never knowing a need to cry? Not only is crying absent on that day, the reasons and the causes for crying in the past, they are forgotten altogether. Isaiah continues, "Behold, I am creating a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things will be remembered no more." If you've been waiting to raise a hallelujah, if you've been holding back from making that instrument put out some noise, now would be your moment. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, that's not bad. I'll take that. Every tear wiped away. The reason that we cried in the first place, completely forgotten. I mean, all of us have shed a tear or 2,000, have we not? And you can probably think back to that time in your life where tears freely flowed. And if you thought about it too long, you might actually find those tears welling up inside you once again. In fact, some of you in here right now are living through those days in these days. Days of tears. And the things that's causing the tears, they're first and foremost in your mind. Not then. On that day, there will be no more crying. The causes thereof forgotten forever. Because of this day, on that day, there will be no more dying. Death has been swallowed up forever. So says Isaiah. Now, death, of course, is a part of life. In fact, I'm sure last week, some of you probably said, many of you probably heard the old saying, right? The only things certain in life are death and taxes. On that day, there is only life, which means there is no more death and no more taxes. And if that's the only thing that prompts a hallelujah from today, I guess we'll take it. But listen to what Isaiah says. It's unthinkable that someone will live to a mere 100 years. Now, that's not hyperbole. It's understated prophecy. It's the way of Isaiah saying, on that day, people will live forever. Jesus said the same thing to his followers when he said the words, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. Now, if you're not yet a Christian, if you're with us today because someone drug you here, I'm happy you're here. If you're the one who drug them, thanks for bringing them. We're glad you're here. If you're not yet a Christian, if you don't know or haven't come to faith in Jesus, I pray that this will be the day you look back on and say, that was the day. Not because of this sermon, not because of this service, because of what this day is. The day that Jesus Christ, true man, who lived a true life, who was truly killed on a cross in our place for the times we've been false to God, came back to life and rose again. We who are his friends, who are his followers, who believe in his resurrection and believe that he is the resurrection, know that his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, his victory over the grave is our victory. It's our certainty. And so we know we'll live eternally because of what happened on this day when death itself was destroyed by his death and his rising to life. And so on that day, there will be no more sighing. We all know what it is to sigh, right? Like Becca at the beginning of the children's sermon. I mean, who hasn't found a morning when they've run out of coffee? When the toast has burnt? When they hit every light red? Or worse yet, when they were hit by a red and blue light from behind? Who hasn't let out a sigh once or twice? Stolen identity or a reputation that has been sullied from losing a dream to an I do to a hope, from having physical abilities slowly degraded or mental capacity slowly drift away, whether in ourselves or a loved one. It's pretty simple and easy to say that there is no one who escapes life without a fair amount of sighing, isn't there? But on that day, only receiving, only abundance, only delighting. Because on that day, because of what happened this day, there will be no more absurdity, no more calamity, no more animosity. Because of what happened this day, there will be no more absurdity. Isaiah writes it this way. No one will labor in vain any longer. Have you ever felt that you were kind of laboring in vain? Maybe even felt underappreciated? Ever kind of asked yourself, why am I doing this and going through this? Whether it's at work or at school, at home or at church. Have you ever felt like you weren't maybe making a difference? Or maybe thought you weren't getting some due recognition? I'm willing to bet that most of us at some point in our life kind of identify with the author of Ecclesiastes. And we kind of say, meaningless, meaningless. Vanity of vanities. Everything seems pointless. Why vote? It doesn't make a difference. Why obey the traffic laws? No one else does. Not even on Holy Week. Why ground myself in reality? People just embrace folly constantly. It all seems so absurd. Yet your life right here and right now, our lives, they bear witness to true reality and true meaning. Your life does make a difference because it presents a foretaste. And your life can make a dent as it brings others to experience that feast that has no end. Because true meaning and true reality are found in the one who today is found rising from the grave. Christ who is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, I was going to say the choir got clappers too, but that's Kaylin. All right. Because of this day, on that day, there will be no more calamity. Calamity seems to be a daily reality in our lives, does it not? If it's not a natural catastrophe, it's a man-made crisis. If it's not a kidnapping, it's a mass shooting. Today in Sri Lanka, church bombings. There is calamity all around us. If it's not floods, it's fires. And the other day, as I was watching Notre Dame burn, the irony did not miss me. That whether it's 8 years or 800 years, life here is transitory. And to dust we shall return. But because of one death, there is life. Because of one resurrection, there is life for all. And one day, on that day, his perfect will and perfect reign will ensure that chaos is gone forever. Because of this day, on that day, there will be no more animosity. Now, if you ask me, I think the one word that could maybe best describe how people get along in this world today is the word animus, unfortunately. We live in such a polarized and partisan world that there is great animus. If you are a Lutheran, you know well what the Catechism says about how we are to treat one another. If you're not a Lutheran, well, we'll work on that too. But if you're a Lutheran, you know our Catechism says we're to put the best construction on all things. Doesn't it seem that in today's world, everyone jumps to the worst possible conclusion at any moment? We are addicted to ourselves. And we love and lap up anyone who agrees with us and says the same thing, and we deplore anyone else who might have a different opinion. Animosity is run amok. But Isaiah says, on that day, wolf and lamb will lie together. Wolf and lamb will lie together. That means probably Bruin and Trojan. Dodger and Giant. Red Sox and Yankee. Donkey and Pachyderm. On that day, there will be harmony. That is why we who gather here on this day seek to bring the unity of faith and life in Jesus Christ, who is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Today, because of what happened on this day, today cast an eye to that day where there are no more trumpets. It's not me saying that, it's St. Paul. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will all be changed. In the flash and the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Now, trumpets are awesome. Trumpets are the king instrument of fanfare. I took trumpet lessons in middle school for 2 years. I wasn't hoping to learn to make music. I was just trying to escape math. Today, I do not play an instrument, and I do not do fractions. But I love trumpets. In the ancient world, they were blown every time an army victorious would come home, when the monarchy would enter the castle, when nobility would arrive for a visit. Trumpets are incredible. On that day, the king will be ever present. And he who is victorious over death and hell, sin and guilt, and beat them at their own game by his resurrection, shall be present. Always. And yet, he is always present here and now. Not just on that day, but on this day. Here and now, in these days of crying and dying and sighing. These days where tears flow, fears of the grave grow, and lonelinesses and losses show here and now. In these days where everything seems so dangerous and senseless and vicious, in these days, we're to set our life on that day. On that day. Because that day changes these days. These days of animosity and calamity and absurdity. These days of sighing and dying and crying. For in these days we live out confidently knowing that Jesus is alive again. And his resurrection doesn't only change our future, it changes our present. Our here and our now. His resurrection changes our here and our now. It fills our lives with his grace and his peace, his strength and his comfort, his mercy and his mending. And when it fills us, it flows from us to others who are struggling through days of crying and dying and sighing, days of absurdity and calamity and animosity, because we live confidently that he who is here with us is indeed coming back. For Christ who died, Christ who is risen, Christ is returning. Christ is risen. We'll count that as our alleluia. Amen.